What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Holy cow, another week. You know, I said that we're in a pretty big stretch of guests here. Last week we had my friend and now yours, Congressman Adam Kinzinger. That was a really incredible discussion. And if you want to hear that or you want to hear this one again, every one of these episodes is available as a podcast on civicmedia.com. Because, hey, we got some powerhouse people. We have joining us our one old friend and one new friend. Dear old friend, Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner, what's up, buddy?
Always good, happy to be here.
Dude, yes. We were just here a little while ago. I was like, yes. We have to get like, you know, a chair saved for you here.
A nice little chair with my name on it. It'd
be great. Yes, embroidered microphone or something. Yeah, and he brings a friend with him who is a wonderful guy, Officer Harry Dunn, who was a Capitol Police officer. He's going to talk about what he's doing here, but also we're going to talk about what happened on January 6th, because we talked about that last week with Adam Kinzinger.
Yeah. No, happy to be here, man. And, you know, as long as people are trying to whitewash and downplay what happened that day, or minimize, or flat out erase it from our history, they'll meet my face pushing back against it.
Yeah, hey, and I appreciate that, because that, you know, it's your face and your name has become synonymous with January 6th.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I would rather have someone like yourself than someone like Donald Trump.
Well, thank you.
You know, yeah. Because you represent the good that happened. Not a lot of good happened that day, but you held and you kept a lot of people safe.
I had a lot of people say that, you know, Officer Dunn, we're so sorry that we had to come to know you under these circumstances, but we're so glad that we know you now, fighting and standing up for what's right and continuing to do so, especially in a time where so many people have forgotten what that looks like.
You know, and in preparation for this discussion and then last week, I actually started reading the January 6th report. Holy crap, is that thing big.
You mean the one that Republicans have accused them of destroying and hiding?
Yeah.
Like, it's literally online. You just go.
Yeah. There's like an audio book as well. Mm-hmm. And it's 24 hours long, by the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I learned was how far in advance people learned, you know, knew about this. I learned that from Adam Kinzinger's book, you know, and on 1:42 in the morning on December 19th, Donald Trump tweeted out, "Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there, will be wild." Talk about that day.
You know, where do I even start, man? Like, I mean, so many people knew in advance, sure. And I think that's one of the things that got me really frustrated with obviously what happened. Frontline officers, majority of the people that were there that day, not chiefs, not leadership, just the frontline beat officers. We see at the Capitol First Amendment protest all the time. Mm-hmm. People come in there protesting about anything. And that's what we expected it to be. I mean, for the most part, we expected arrest. They told us, hey, guys, some of y'all might have to stay late. We're expecting some, you know, potential first demonstration lockups, civil disobedience. Civil.
Yeah.
Keyword civil. Not a entire attempted takeover of the, you know, U.S. government. So, you know, I show up to work at 6:45 or so. We have a roll call at 7, and they're giving us our orders. I mean, listen, this is in the middle of COVID, too.
Yeah.
The Capitol's closed to the public. It had been closed for months. Washington, D.C., everybody's working from home. Traffic is a breeze getting in and out of, I mean, any major city, right? Think about it. COVID. Nobody's working.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's working from home. So as first responders, we had the easiest commute going into work, no traffic. This was great. When you show up to work that morning, now, and this is obviously looking back at it, but going in, I didn't think anything, but you see people in the street and hundreds of people. I mean, it's 6 in the morning. I mean, middle of January. Now it's not Wisconsin cold, but I mean, it's 25 degrees out there, and it's, you know, 6 in the morning. People are out walking around, and it had flags, American flags. I'm like, this is crazy. So as the day continued to go on, the crowds at the Capitol just swelled. I mean, there were officers calling out, hey, we got a group of 100 people headed towards the Capitol from the White House, or hey, we have a group of 75 making their way to the Capitol from the direction of the Supreme Court. And it was just constantly over and over again, people putting out. And next thing you know, the Capitol is just saturated with people. It looked like a pep rally for Trump. I mean, you had individuals out there singing the national anthem. They were waving the flags. They playing cornhole. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but I mean, it just seemed like a pep rally.
Yeah.
And then one, I don't know what the actual action that caused the violence.
To turn, yeah.
But it just made an ugly turn. One of the things that made me realize before I believe it got violent was they discovered pipe bombs at the DNC and the RNC, respectively. And those two incidents combined with the continued saturation of people at the Capitol, it turned into like a pressure cooker almost. Like, this is bad. This is bad. If it was a movie, like the dramatic, the music would be playing, the build up, and then
pop.
And that's kind of what happened. And for over 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever, officers, myself, my coworkers were fighting. Now, people say we protected democracy. And I mean, that's a hell of a byproduct, I believe, of what we did. We were just trying to stay alive and make it home to our families,
right. Protect
the members of Congress. Nobody, I wasn't thinking in that moment, guys, we got to protect democracy.
Right.
I'm trying to stay alive. I got a daughter that I need to go home to. My coworkers had their husbands, their wives that they needed to go home to. And members of Congress, we need to protect every single hair on their head, whether it was Marjorie Taylor Greene, whether it was Ron Johnson, whether it was AOC. Yeah, right? But whether it was AOC, whether it was Chuck Schumer, anybody, our job was to protect those individuals because that was our job.
And what's crazy is, like, you had to protect people like Ron Johnson who deny the very existence of what happened.
Calls it Antifa.
Right.
BLM, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa. I mean, that was just despicable, but...
Yeah, and it was interesting, or the peaceful protest, which, by the way, one of the things I learned is, you know, in a peaceful protest, I didn't realize that those had people that would bring body armor or, you know, weapons and knives and bats and all those things. And one of the things that was interesting, too, in reading the report is how there was like 26,000 people in the Ellipse.
Yeah.
But Trump was pissed off because there were magnetometers. He wanted to go because they're not here for him. And there were just as many people outside who refused to go through the magnetometers. Ugh. Why is that? Because it's peaceful, clearly. And, you know, that was fascinating to hear. And then hear about everything that was confiscated from people that did go in.
Well, let's define what peaceful means, because I feel like we have to now.
Yeah, right.
Now, peaceful does not mean kumbaya out there in this day and age. Peaceful means we didn't get the hell beat out of us. That's what peaceful meant.
Typically, now, there's no fatalities.
Yeah, typically, right?
Yes, right?
But these people were angry. Like, I've been at, quote, peaceful protests where we got cussed out and, you know, but there was no violence towards us. So that's peaceful. The peaceful is, in this, the way we're describing it, is without violence.
Right.
Mm. It wasn't with peace. Because when people protest, people are very passionate about the things. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. And then, you know, a lot of times police officers or the security or whatever, we're just the lightning rod that takes the brunt of it. But this case, we were standing in the way of these insurrectionists who called us traitors, who called us that we were not upholding our oath. And we were in their way stopping them from stopping the certification of the election. We were the traitors. We were the bad guys that day. Make that make sense.
It's interesting, and it's so well put how you call January 6th the most well-documented crime scene in history. That's so, like, on point.
One of the things people, Donald Trump, Republicans, Ron Johnson, all these people have said we're the Democrats or the left or are doing Joe Biden's DOJ are trying to shape the narrative about January 6th. There's no narrative to shape. Turn your TV down on silent and just press play.
Yep.
Nobody has to say a word. I don't have to say a word. Joe Biden didn't have to say a word. Press play.
Michelle,
and you tell me.
Michelle Bachmann said, like a week ago, I believe, she said that if you would see the images from January 6th, it would represent more a March for Life protest than it would anything violent. I don't know how you make that leap.
She's a liar.
She's insane.
She's a liar. She's insane. She's delusional. Yeah. Because, okay, you know what? Everybody listen now. Pull out your phone and Google March for Life, Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Okay? Do that. Compare that. Now Google January 6, 2021, U.S. Capitol. Now compare the two. I've worked March for Life protests. There were people just marching, and they would march to the Supreme Court, and they were singing, reading Bible verses. Yes, they were very peaceful, even and really peaceful. They weren't cussing us out. They were so nice and friendly to us.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave us candy bars. They were really nice to us at the March for Life.
Yeah,
that didn't happen on January 6th. Give me a break.
No. And it's, you know, it's it really is a wild stretch to go from, you know, seeing what happened. I remember what happened.
Yeah.
I don't remember like you. But I remember seeing everything that happened. And I mean, maybe there was a peaceful-ish moment at the Ellipse when Donald Trump was talking about, but because all of the weapons were taken away, what happened at the Capitol was not peaceful whatsoever.
At all.
No. And thank you for that. I'm going to wrap this up about this topic, and we're going to go into why you're here. Here at in the next segment, we're going to hear from our friend Ahmad Rivera Wagner. What's up, buddy?
Hey.
So we'll be right back here in the Rational Revolution.